I heard Pastor Jones sent me a message, very powerful. And he said, he's doing his PhD in physics, right? And they're trying to build some solar energy and all of that stuff. So he said, he just said something. He said, he was talking about faith, and he said, you have to get the configuration right. He said, the configuration in lead, in terms of the arrangement of the electrons, neutrons, protons, creates lead. The same amount of electrons, protons, neutrons, configured differently, same thing, is what you call tin. So in somebody's life, we go and meet the person and say, do you pray? Yes. Do you confess the word? Yes. Do you meditate? Yes. Do you worship God? Yes. Do you read your Bible? Yes. How come there's no result? Configuration. Another person, we ask him, how do you get results? I pray, I read my Bible, I worship God, same thing. Now we start checking. When this one said, I read the Bible, we check now. In 100% of their life, let's say their life is 100, we find out that 40% of their life is social things that has nothing to do with the world. Then they sleep for 8 hours. Well, I'm not saying it's bad, but let's calculate. 33%, 73 has gone. Out of the 27, you will be amazed. 6 hours is food related. 6%. Preparing the food. Thinking about the food. All right? By the time we check, only 1.9% is used in the practice of those principles, but they say they practice them. Then we go and look at the other person. 25% of that person's time is used in the practice of principle generating results. So God says, if we can just increase it to 50. Now, let's look at your 75% what you are doing. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I say, Oga, you are at the movies 4 times a week. Chairman, these movies, the content of the movies, there is adultery committed in 2 of those movies every week. And this is going on, and you are following the plot. How he lied to his wife. And getting emotionally involved, not knowing that that's a process of renewal of your mind. For they say if a 60-second advert can sell you a product, a 60-minute movie will sell you a lifestyle. Are you following what I'm saying? You are following that. You are following all of that. You are doing all of that. It says, can we just cut out the movies from 4 to 1? Those other ones, let's take them back. Same thing about money. You say, I have financial problem. Said, all right, financial problem. Let's check the amount of money you have. Okay, how much do you spend on recharge card? You say, that can be the problem. Calculate. Times 12 a month. That's 250. You see that? Recharge card. Okay. As you're driving home, there's food at home. But you say, let me buy this. How much do you spend on those things? By the time you finish cutting things, you can do without. You don't have to drink Coke. You can drink water. Your body will adjust. Do you understand water? And it's better for you. You understand this? You don't have to eat a bar of chocolate. You can eat a banana. Your body will adjust. It says by the time we calculate 3 million, that range you are believing God for, 1.5. If we go to Ashoebi, I see what I say. You say there is no money, but every occasion you are in the Ashoebi, you say about just 15,000. How many times a year? 30. Huh? 450. Yet you say you don't have money for fuel. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anyone that brings forth fruit, let's purge it of some things. They say in the principle in quantum physics, the quantum leap, the electron just suddenly leaps into an orbit, higher orbit, without exerting more force. But what has happened is that it gathered all its energy for that leap, while others dissipated it in all other things. So he says, look, let's just gather. All right? All of the things that you are doing. Okay? All this television time. Let's even just take 1 hour a day. This one, let's cut it here. This one, let's cut it here. Let's just gather. All right? So there are some things you don't need. All right? And that's what it says. We can, all things are lawful. But not all things are what? Expedient. So it says, let's just cut down on some things. It says, and we'll have more power to move on. And then it goes now. It says, you are clean through the word. So that cleansing, this one is in Tadana. And it says, by the word you are clean. It says, but what we are talking about is purging on the outside. Then it says, abide in me and I in you as the branch of itself. All right? As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth. Now this person decided not to abide in him. Do you see the difference here? Not that he was unfruitful. He decided that other one was abiding, but he didn't know where the problem was. This one said, I am not abiding. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather and cast on fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, it says, then you will come in prayer and ask, and it shall be done unto you. And herein is my Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit, and so are you my disciples. So, it says, if you abide in me, we said this last week, I'm going somewhere, that you abide in him, so I decide that I'm going to get this thing done through Jesus Christ. I choose to abide in him. Now, what happens many a times is when people say they are abiding in God for something, and they say they are waiting on God for something. Most of the time, what they are saying is that I'm waiting for God to do something. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Not waiting on God to do something. I'm explaining it. So you say, well, I'm waiting on God for my job. No, what they're saying is I'm waiting for God to bring the job. Not that they are waiting on God. You see, when you are waiting on God, it's like the hen that is waiting on its eggs for it to hatch. It's not waiting for the eggs to hatch. It's not on the outside watching to see whether the eggs will hatch one day. It sits on the eggs, incubates, and then goes, and then comes back and incubates. So when you are waiting on God, you are incubating on something he gives you. And it's his word until his word hatches into event. So the person who is waiting on God for a job is doing something, not waiting for God to bring the job. If you are waiting on God for the growth of your business or waiting on God for my, you are not waiting for God to bring somebody. You are waiting on something. So, and we need to get the because we can say by power of mind, but by spirit. But we understand how to use power of mind. But when it's the spirit, we don't know what, they're just like spirit, we are lost now. Right? So we're waiting on God, we are lost now. So many times people say, well, I went to the man because the man seemed more practical than going to God. You get what I'm saying here? Yeah? So the man comes, says, you went down to Egypt for help, and you not come to me. He said, because Egyptians are men and not God. And he says, their horses are flesh and not spirit. So you understand that the Egyptian man will give you a horse to go with, a letter to take to them. But this God that we are going to meet, he doesn't just say we should be waiting. All right, but God says, no, get it. It says, as they give you their own horses which are flesh, I will give you my horses that are spirit. That the flesh profiteth nothing. It is the spirit that quickens. The words that I give unto you, they are speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So what the Father does is that Jesus will give you, that's how the life from Jesus starts flowing into that situation for fruitfulness. He will give you his words concerning that. Now, it says, we've talked about that, so let's move on. You take the words, and the words must now abide in you. which means that you now constantly have that word. Not that you heard the word. The Bible says the word that was preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard. It was a past tense heard. Faith cometh by hearing, which means that when the word is abiding in you, there is present continuous tense there. Your word remains on your lips. You are declaring that word. It's there on your lips. You see things that contradict it. It comes on your lips there. This book of the law must not depart out of my mouth. Now, what am I saying? What I'm saying is I say so that when you come to pray, it says, if you abide in me and you now have my tools I've given, which are my words, and my words are abiding in you, he said, when you come to pray, he said, it shall be done unto you, and there'll be great fruit. Now, what are we saying? Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. All right, it says this. Now, we're going to close here. It says, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the blood. What does that mean? That means I couldn't go into that room in the past because I owed somebody money inside that room, 2 million. So once I see the person, I dodge. No boldness. But then somebody went to pay my debt and said, he has paid it. Now I can go there, all right, boldly, because I'm no longer indebted to the person there. But that's not just what it's about. Then it says, having consecrated through a new and living way that he has consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. In other words, he has now opened the door that we can come in. Now, many people just feel that, well, I'm coming by the blood of Jesus Christ. The way has been consecrated. But we don't read the condition through which when you enter, your impact will be fruitful. It says, let us therefore, because we can come in boldly by the blood, because the gate has been opened through his flesh. Now, move on there. It says, let us come in a full assurance with true hearts. In a full assurance of faith there. Let us draw near with a true heart. In a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Now, this evil conscience is not guilt-ridden conscience. It is a heart free of malicious thoughts towards others. And our bodies washed with pure water. He took that from Ezekiel, direct quotation there. And what in Ezekiel it means is you are washed from idols. So you, God is your only source, and there's no malicious thoughts towards any person, but you're coming in a full assurance. Let us hold the profession of our faith without what? Wavering. For faithful is he that promised. So if you are going, you must come in a full assurance of faith. He said the way to do that is hold fast the profession of that faith. All right, without. Which means when you come in, you must have what is called a full assurance of faith. The key to that is do not waver. And that's what the woman with the issue of blood was doing. All right? That, listen, if I am going to get a transference of grace into my life, at the point of contact, he said, my heart must be in a place where there's what is called the full assurance, certainty on the inside of me. And the only way to get that is that I have a profession of faith that doesn't waver. Then you understand what Jesus was saying about prayer. He said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into sea, and shall not doubt, and shall believe what he said will come to pass. Then he enters into prayer with that solid confession. And he will have through prayer what he has been saying. So it was confession that led into effective prayer. So what am I saying here? Let me bring it home. You therefore want to pray about 5 things. Now let's be practical here. You say, well, I have 5 things I need to pray about. I need to pray about my spouse. I need to pray about my children. I need to pray about my business. I need to pray about my parent, maybe, or my health in my body. I need to pray about 5 things. So how am I going to do things? Now, let me just start by saying, let's say you have free time, a Saturday. So we want to spend 4 hours in prayer. Now, I'm not saying, when you spend 4 hours in prayer, please get this. I'm saying you should pray for 4 hours in tongues continuously. You will get tired and might lose focus. You break it into 1 hour of prayer, one hour and rest. Jesus himself, after 1 hour, he stopped. He went to greet the disciples, then came back. Do you understand what we're saying here? That why are you, do you get what we're saying? Let's be practical here. Well, this is what you do. You say, well, I want to pray now about these five things. So let's start with your spouse. So you go to the scriptures that give confidence about the future of your marriage and all of that. Then what you do before you start praying is that you bring yourself into a place of full assurance of faith. Start reading out the scriptures concerning your marriage out loud. Start repeating those scriptures before you pray. All right? Jesus said, will I find faith when you are praying? So begin to read it out loud. Begin to read it out loud. I can tell you this. Many things people are praying about, some of them a lot they can explain from the Bible, but that faith has been contaminated. And they have done nothing about just go and start praying in tongues. So there is fear. There is no real expectancy. So what you do is that you sit down. That's why I say, taking yourself sort of spirit. Get God's words abide in you. So you declare these words, maybe for 15 minutes. You read them out loud to yourself. All right? If you have not done it in a long time, then your things begin to, all right, come to you. You keep reading it out loud. Reading out loud. You get to a point where, right, yes. You say, well, it sits right now. Then you pray in tongues. Now, let's say you pray in tongues for an hour and get some release. Then you rest for 15 minutes. Drink water. Relax. All right? God doesn't, he's not, you're not going to die. Then you get to your business. Then you get the scriptures for those. Read them out loud again. Then you pray. Then you say, well, it's time now for a condition in my body. You get out the scriptures on healing. You read them out loud. You pray. Now, having done that kind of thing, you now know every day you go to work. So on Monday morning, what do? You dedicate Mondays to prayer for your family. Tuesdays to prayer for your business. Wednesday to prayers for this. Thursday. So what you do is that on Monday, you now read out the scriptures concerning your family and you pray that morning and get a release. And then Tuesday, you now know I'm praying, let's say, for my children. You read out the scriptures there. Come into that position there, it'll be easier. And you do that. Now, on Monday, when you finish praying that, you can read the other scriptures quickly to yourself to build your faith in that area. But then you move on. Tuesday is dedicated to this. Wednesday is dedicated to this. And you pray over those things without ceasing, which means never stop. Your faith must be out there. It says pray without ceasing. Not means pray for 24 hours. It means there must be continuity in prayer concerning this thing. So don't cease. Men always ought to pray and not to faint. You shall reap if you faint not. So don't cease them. You continue in the place of prayer. Position your heart in faith by declaring. That's what it means. You are waiting on God. So what you do in prayer is you are sitting on the word of God and the promise of God for them to hatch and to break forth, right? And you pray that way. Now, if you are believing God for something that is time sensitive and there's pressure, all right? Now that there's pressure, do it like this. Break your day into 3 watches. Now, this is serious business. For example, if they come and tell you there's a condition in your body, now there's serious business now. Break it into 3 watches. 6 a.m., let's say 5 a.m., you declare the scriptures concerning your healing, and then you pray through. By 12 to 3, you declare the scriptures. Okay? There is no room for contamination. So what's going on is that the level of your faith is growing by the hour. Are you following what I'm saying here? At night, read those scriptures out. Don't wait for God to do it. Wait on God to do it. Do you get what I'm saying here? Sit on the word until the word hatches. You understand this? When you are pushing for something, Jesus said, keep the fire burning. He said, God, your land, and make sure the fire is burning. Keep fanning the flame of the initial revelation. Let that fire, don't let that fire go out. If that fire goes out, the prayer on the outside is empty. If the revelation is not growing inside you, the prayer on the outside is empty. So you do that, all right, and begin. And in every situation you are believing God for, only one thing is needful. You only have to do one thing. Naaman only had to go in 7 times. That's it. There's nowhere you see him tell you there are 16 things you must do. Mary said, whatsoever he says, just do it. Wine finished, get the vessels, fill them with water, that is all. And then, never difficult, but do it. Sean says, well, I don't know. I've been praying about my children. I'm praying. He said, only one thing is needful for that child to do. Only one thing is needful. And this is where I'm getting to. How then do I with ease come to know that thing that is needful? As I pray the scriptures through, I saw it. Because, you know, we said, you shall know the truth. We said, look, and I saw it. All right? And if there is anything, I just will not talk. But if there's anything in the previous generation ahead of us, they allowed the teachers in their midst to die. The people that could explain what was going on got cut short. And that's why I'm telling you this. And that's one of the reasons why, inside my heart, I said Nigeria needs teachers back. That's why one of the things we do with WAFBEC. People can teach these principles because people are manifesting things people don't understand how they're doing it. People are broken into apostolic realms that nobody knows how they got there. So it has to be explained so people can understand. Listen, somebody told me in school one day, but when you are struggling with doctrinal issues, you don't want to say some things. She said, Pastor, you preached on warfare. I've come to one conclusion. Without spiritual warfare in worship, you will not see God. Well, how do you preach that? They will say, no. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has consecrated in which warfare? There's no devil between me and Jesus. God is just loves me. I just go in there. I say, Jesus. He says, yeah. Even though nothing is happening in the life, they were saying, listen, I just go there. He has a name for me. When I just go there, he says, I just say, yes, dad. You know, nothing is happening, nothing in the life. But you don't taught that doctrine, war will break. And God showed me and said, listen, did I not say the weapons of our warfare are not carnal? They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge. That knowledge, that's what Satan doesn't want them to get into. That's why when Daniel prayed through, the angel came. He had seen the scripture. The angel said, I've come to give you skill and understanding. This is what you must do. So in that warfare prayer, and you're confessing the word, what eventually comes is light. And God says to you, for this business to grow, it might not even come as a voice like that. You might be reading a book and something in that book jumps out. This is what you should do. This is what you should do. This is what you should do. Are you following what I'm saying? As a strong impression comes out, right? You might just go outside where you usually operate and you see something and it's impressed on your heart. But it's one thing that is needful to turn everything around, right? But to get to that point there, that's why you have to keep declaring the word of God, declaring it. Don't let your faith waver. Don't allow it won't take long if we stay with it, to contaminate your faith. That's what he was saying, that let's exhort one another daily, because you don't know whose faith has been contaminated. That's what washing the feet of one another is for, which means that, yes, you are clean. He said, but I still need to wash your feet. In the sense that if you go out, you pick up dust. If you walk in the world, you pick up dust. If you walk from there to there, your shoe will be dusty. If you go out, that will be thrown. That people will say things, they don't mean to hurt you, they don't mean to, but they just say something that, it just affects your faith. Someone just says that. You know, I saw this person, one guy, and he doesn't know it's your own story, he's saying. And the guy just felt like, and Satan comes, I told you the first day we are going to go out on television. I mean, somebody came to testify on TBN. It was good testimony. But my heart sank. He said, listen, we went on television for 7 years. Nobody wrote us. Nobody called us. Nobody saw me in the mall and said, we've seen you on television. He said, 7 years. No letter, no phone call, no reference to our program. He said, but on the 8th year, we got into 130 nations of the world. He said, you know, sometimes God, when he's working with you, as he finished, Satan just whispered, so shall it be. from now. So I went 2000. The first time you get a call is 2011. So as you are going now, you've heard now. You've heard now. You've heard what has happened. Listen, as we finished the first program and the call came, oh, that's how I was delivered from that statement. All right? So your faith can even get contaminated by testimony. You know, somebody was complaining. I never seen this. Said in their church, they don't allow testimonies again. They said because some people get depressed. I'd never known this phrase. She said, I don't understand why they're doing that. I know some people have the Pepper Dem Gang testimony. Which means, you know, you come to testify. You are looking at some people here. Even if it's 30 million, you say 300 million. You understand it? Pepper Dem. God did it. So some people go back and they're sleeping at home. I've been praying for 4 years. This one that joined church 6 months ago. 300 million. 300 million. So, of course, I've got many people who are coming for counseling. Pastor, what is it I did? Have I seen? Is it a curse in my family? They say, okay, no more testimony. This one is causing wahala. But I'm saying that even testimony, Satan can use it as a dart. All right? If you are not solid in faith. Right, so you have to continue. Now, practice this. Look, if you say, I've been praying, I haven't seen results, check what I'm saying. If you have the word, it's a long time. You held that word, confessing it, to it's a long time. Sometimes you might confess it, 10 days you leave it alone. 12 days you come back, look at it. The faith is being contaminated every day. Satan is contaminating. You know what he wants the most? Go to God in prayer and get nothing. So you'll be frustrated. Do you get what I'm saying? Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, we ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening.